Mr. Lynch, can you describe your creative process when choosing shots and something I can't read, the specific look and feel of the film?
As I said earlier, it's all ideas. And if you catch an idea, and you all know this, you didn't have the idea, and then bang, suddenly, and that's how come they put this little light bulb on cartoons, this light bulb goes off, there's like a spark, and you see the idea. And then the rest is pretty easy. It's just staying true to that idea. And you find that as you go along, and you're looking for a location or for a set based on the idea, you can look at many photos and you throw out 99% of them and you say, these two have a possibility, because you're going back and checking that idea. Ideas are the whole thing. How do we catch them? And at what level do we catch them? How much information is there? Because they can have so much for us. And all you have to do is think about the idea, and then you realize that this location, if we lit it this way, and we did this, and we had this sound coming in, and we moved in such a way, this would fulfill that idea.
There's another follow-up on that. What are your opinion on stories that are solid stories that are spiritually inspiring and elevating?
I think that every one of us is different on the surface, and as Dr. John Hagen said, at that core, we're all one. On the surface, we all love a particular kind of thing. So I catch some ideas that I love and others wouldn't. But we see sometimes films or hear music that really moves us. It's so beautiful, or it's so inspiring, or it has a thing that just pleases us in some way. This is that thing of creating. And for me, and I think for all those people, it's being true to that idea. Catching that idea and being true to it.
There's this little bit, political flavor, I guess. For world peace, have you given training to DOD, Bush government, and Congress and Senate?
And what?
Congress and Senate.
Okay, for world peace, Maharishi teaches transcendental meditation, a technique that allows you to dive all the way in to transcend and experience an ocean, unbounded, infinite, eternal ocean of pure consciousness. This is that unified field. He teaches advanced techniques, including yogic flying, the siddhis. The siddhas learn yogic flying. Right now, yogic flying just looks like hopping. And people say, oh, this is baloney. This is really a joke. But as I said once, if I was going to film the yogic flyers, I'd start in the distance, see them hopping on foam rubber, and drift in closer and closer, and go inside the yogic flyer. And then, inside the yogic flyer, they're experiencing intense bliss. This is not a thing that makes them, you know, fatigued. This is so unbelievably blissful. And they are ramping up this light of bliss, this light of unity, so bright. And if they do it in a group, it's quadratically more powerful than they did it scattered about. A peace-greeting group enlivens that unified field in collective consciousness, and it works. It's been tested 52 times. It's coming your way to a theater near you. And it's going to work. And this is where peace comes from. It's a field of pure peace. Help bring this, become successful, enjoy your ride, and let's live, instead of the Iron Age, the Kali Yuga, which you've heard about, let's live Sat Yuga, the Golden Age, heaven on earth. roll with that flowing waves of bliss, creativity, intelligence, all the power that runs the universe. Really, let's really enjoy life in peace.
Thank you. I have another question. How is TM different from other techniques? I don't know if you can compare it.
I know, I've only heard stories. I've heard that contemplation and concentration keep one on the surface of life. There's relaxation techniques, there's all different kind of things. The field of relativity, as Dr. John Hagelin would tell you, is Maharishi calls the marketplace. It's huge. You can get lost in the marketplace. Transcendental meditation, or any technique that can get you from the surface of life all the way through subtler levels of mind, subtler levels of intellect, to that non-relative oneness of life, the all-permeating, unified field. Any technique that can do that, that's the one I want. In other words, if there wasn't transcendental meditation, if it was taken away, I don't know what form of meditation I would choose. That's where I want to go, and that's where I think that experience, as Dr. Fred Travis has told you, that experience is called a holistic experience. It lights the full brain on the EEG machine. It affects all avenues of life in a positive way. Chases negativity away like sunlight chases darkness away. It's just that way.
There are quite a few questions related to comparing with samadhi, vipassana.
This is samadhi. Samadhi is transcending. There's the little samadhi and there's the maha samadhi. With transcendental meditation, little samadhi many times during meditation, little samadhi many times during the afternoon meditation. And the little samadhi, guess what? It grows and grows and grows. And one day, when it's 24/7 during waking, sleeping, and dreaming, that's the maha samadhi. Start with the little samadhi. Get transcend, transcend, transcend. That's all you need.
Then there is a little bit more technical of the meditation. When you meditate, do you do thoughts, you know, slip in your brain, mind? What do you do about them?
About what?
The thoughts keep coming.
The thoughts, they're so beautiful. Maharishi says, thoughts come and go. Thoughts come, we don't worry about those thoughts. If you go off on a thought, the next thought is the mantra, and you come back, and you dive again. You come out with thoughts, and you maybe go off on a thought, come back to the mantra, and dive again. Now there's many, many, many kinds of mantras. And my friend Charlie Lutz says, if you meditate on the word buttermilk, you're liable to end up in the dairy. We don't want to go to the dairy. We want to go to the absolute. So you want to get the mantra, which is very specific, the mantra that turns the mind within. Once it's turned within, it wants to dive, because each deeper level has more happiness, more charm. You just dive. And you hit that ocean of pure bliss. Now you say, man, being a human being is so beautiful. And life gets better and better. And like Maharishi says, teaches, mankind was not meant to suffer. Bliss is our nature. Hard to believe in today's world, but bliss is our nature. It's right there.
Dr. Hagelin. Shouldn't the process be an integral process, breathing, mind, and body, to get the best results rather than only the mind?
Yep. It's a very good question. If we abuse our bodies, and I'm afraid we all do, to different degrees, the body is really fatigued and filled with stress, the experience of meditation will be a little less clear, a little less satisfactory. Everybody knows, really, the human nervous system is absolutely vital to any of our experiences, including the experience of unbounded awareness. So common sense, at least, in terms of what you do to the body. For example, excess drinking. We use that in our society as one way to combat stress, But what drinking does is it really shuts down the prefrontal cortex, which means we don't worry about our problems. It doesn't solve any of the problems. And unfortunately, in the long term, that shutdown, the lack of blood flow to the front of the brain, becomes more chronic, and you see the emergence of what are called functional holes in the brain. So drinking, especially in excess, is not highly conducive to experience of unbounded awareness. So what we do with our bodies is important, but it's really remarkable what 10 to 15 to 20 minutes of meditation itself will do in terms of improving the body. We've seen that. 3 times deeper rest than sleep. Imagine rejuvenative effects that would have on our body. And I also just want to throw in one comment about David Lynch, who is a remarkable human being. He really puts his money where his mouth is. The David Lynch Foundation for Consciousness-Based Education and World Peace has brought programs of transcendental meditation to hundreds of schools and thousands of students. The big news in education right now is that TM is being incorporated to public schools, private schools, parochial schools, charter schools. Why? Well, because stress-related learning disorders like ADHD and depression are huge epidemics today. 10 million of our children on antidepressant drugs, another 3 to 4 million on ADHD-related drugs, and with those, sleeping medications, other medications. We're medicating a whole generation. We have no idea what the long-term side effects of these drugs are, except that Ritalin now is linked with death. So parents are very concerned, and schools are beginning to explore non-pharmacological antidotes to stress, and particularly those with the positive side benefit of developing the total brain. And that's the final point I would make as an educator. There's nothing we do in education that engages the total brain. And as a result of that, we really get a type of lopsided development where maybe 5 to 10% of the innate potential of the brain is utilized. So this meditative state, and I don't care how you get there, what approach you use, but do something that brings you quickly to this experience of unbounded awareness. That form of meditation, any form of meditation that does that, will serve the purpose of developing, engaging the total brain. That is the educational technology of the 21st century, and is beginning to sweep the field of education and corporate development. Go to David Lynch's website, davidlynchfoundation.org, and see about the executive training programs there for adults and for businesses, as well as for children. Thank you.
Thank you. There's a politically loaded question you may answer, you may escape, you know. As a devotee, should we vote Republican or Democrats?
Couldn't hear.
Should we vote Republican or Democrat?
We'll skip.
That's right. You vote your heart and your mind, but this is, we're coming up to a beautiful time, and it's a long, long discussion, but governing from the field of unity is what, another name for this unified field is the constitution of the universe. Govern from that level, think from that level, you think from that level, and your desire is fulfilled before your desire has even hardly popped up in your mind. That's where all the power is. And governing from that level means flawless governing, flawless, no problems. It's hard to believe, but it's there.
I would also say we get the government we deserve, or say in a democracy, we get the government we elect. So if you want to elect a better government, we do have to raise the level of consciousness of the people as a whole. And that grassroots level is where we're at. Thank you.
Thank you. Whoever can pick up this one. You're talking about the effect on TM, but can you tell us how and why this effect happens?
Yeah, do you want to do it?
The reason it happens is because the mind and body are intimately related. Every state of consciousness has a unique physiological experience. So what you do with TM is you use the mind, which actually drives the body. This goes back to a previous question. And what you're doing is taking the mind away from outward projection, specific experience, and turning within to more expanded awareness, more fullness inside. And that's a concrete experience. It's not an imagination, it's a concrete experience. And associated with that are the brain patterns that I showed you. And then what happens is Every experience changes the brain, so the brain actually begins to strengthen those circuits to support the experience of this restful alertness. And then when you go back out of meditation, you have those circuits from meditation along with the circuits that let you think and feel. So it's a very physiological process. And also just to reflect on two questions back on other meditations, you can go to my website, fredtravis.com, and there is a paper I presented at the Science of Consciousness Conference in Tucson. And it compares other meditations based on procedure, brain patterns, and so on. And you see that different meditations are different.
How has meditation helped you deal with the intense pressure of Hollywood film industry?
This experience of pure consciousness, bliss consciousness, it's so beautifully powerful, and negative things start to recede, like stress, like tension, like anxiety, like fear. And it is truly my experience that life begins to become more and more like a game, like a fantastic game. Those things we used to be so afraid of get less and less fearful, and you start to enjoy the trip. Even some of these people that used to make our life hell, you start to kind of like them. It's weird, and it's sort of beautiful. So in every business, Hollywood has got a great reputation for being a pressure cooker, but every business has this. So it's money in the bank. Build it up from the inside. Just build up that inner strength, that power, energy, intelligence, bliss. Build it up, build it up, build it up. Start really, really enjoying life. Start being able to catch those ideas that we need and become super successful. And all the best to all of you.
Thank you all, and thank you, Mr. David Lynch and all the David Lynch Foundation. And you can look into the website, and we'll have to empty the room so that we can, you know, go for the next event here. And Mr. Lynch and the team will be available outside. And if you want to talk to them, you can meet them. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you.